Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Easter. Hey, have you eaten your Easter eggs yet? Oh, you're slacking. You're slacking. No, I haven't been able to eat mine yet. I'm not allowed yet, but I will do later. It's great. Where were you all at 6 o'clock this morning? In bed. We were up there trying to watch the sunrise, but it was rising behind some trees, so we didn't see the sunrise. But we saw a plane coming to Gatwick at 6 a.m. this morning and other stuff. And we just celebrated this morning. It was wonderful to be there and to be up at the crack of dawn and to welcome another Easter day where God's people can get together and we can remember 3 days that not only change the world, but change your life and change your eternal destiny. Is an amazing thought, and we're going to be celebrating that today. We have all sorts of things going on this week, which also hopefully will help you to celebrate Easter, because today isn't the end of it, because we've got another week of things going on. So let's have a look. Let me just flick through. Here you go. Catch up with sermons. Alpha starts very soon, so don't forget you can catch up with all the story of the Christian faith through that as well, which would be great. There is an Easter egg hunt tomorrow. And that's 2:30 walk, 3:30 tea and Easter egg hunt. If you haven't booked and sort of cooks by booking, so if you haven't booked, you need to check out whether there's enough scones to come. If there's a whole load of people who turn up who haven't booked, we might have a problem. But yeah, I'll leave that with you. Chat with Anne if there are any problems on that one. 3:30 tea and Easter egg hunt tomorrow. We hope you can make it. We're going to be praying on Wednesday as another chance to catch up and remind ourselves of the glorious truth of Easter, and that's going to be our focus on Wednesday night at the manse, 8 o'clock. Hope to see you there. And if that isn't enough, on Friday we're going to be meeting here again, and we have the film Risen. Joseph Fiennes, is that how you pronounce it? Fiennes, yeah, that'll do. Okay, Joseph Fiennes, and that's Risen on Friday, which was a blockbuster that came out last year, and we're going to see that this year, so that's really good. Is there any other notices on Easter Day that we need to know about? Adrienne has one, I think. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard about the buns, but I will be here at 10:15. Let me just remind you that hot cross buns, we've got a service at the school on Tuesday morning, which myself and the vicar from the Angus Church are going to be doing. And if you can butter some hot cross buns, which we're going to hand out at the end of Tuesday school, 3:30 on Tuesday, could you talk to Adrienne? She's going to be here at 9, what time? 10:15 here, buttering 200 hot cross buns. But may she not do it on her own. We hope you will join her and give her a hand. Talk to Adrienne at the end, at the back, that'd be great. Excellent. Okay, now, how many of you know what Easter is about? Why is Easter so significant? What is the biggest thing about Easter? Give me something, one of you guys. If you're in primary or below, give me something about Easter. What's Easter all about? What's it about to you? New life, good answer. Wait, it is about new life. It is, brand new life for all of us. Any others? More than just the eggs and the chocolate, isn't it? But it can get a bit confusing, and even kids get a little bit confused about what Easter is all about. Here's a little reminder of what Easter is all about. Over to you, Anthony.
After Jesus died, they put Jesus in a tomb and wrapped him with some white paper. They put a big stone around it and placed guards in front of the tomb to let nobody go in. He was just waiting for 3 days.
He's probably drinking soda, eating hot Cheetos.
He would probably play games like Candyland and then have a party by himself.
The Easter Bunny was hiding behind a tree.
He probably went out there and just throw eggs everywhere. And then he's going to say, there's one money egg, so you better find it. You'll get some money.
3 days later, there was a big earthquake.
Uh-huh. I think we should go away somewhere safe.
It's like I'm getting out of here.
The earth is shaking. Run for your lives.
And the guards ran off because they got scared.
And then on Sunday, Mary and some of her friends came with some spices. But when they got there, the tomb is empty.
His clothes only was there.
Then an angel came and said,
"Don't be afraid. Jesus has risen from the dead. Go tell the good news."
Mary and her friends went and told the disciples.
She said, "Jesus has risen from the dead.
Guys, Jesus has risen from the dead."
And the disciples didn't believe them.
"No, that couldn't happen. Jesus can't raise from the dead.
I don't believe it until I see it."
But all of a sudden, Jesus was there.
"I am Jesus. I am the Son of the Lord God, and I am Jesus, your friend."
And then the disciples said, "Jesus, it's you! Yay! Jesus is alive!"
Totes cool.
Jesus, before he left to heaven, he said,
"I have done what I have came to done. Do." And then he risen, and he was going up to heaven. His disciples were crowded around him.
The disciples said, "Holy guacamole,
I can't believe Jesus really flew.
That's awesome.
Now what?
Let's go tell the news."
There you go. I'm sure Jesus didn't have all that trouble with his grammar on the first day of the week. Maybe it was too early. 6 o'clock, I have trouble with grammar, so maybe he had the same problem. But the wonderful news, let's go tell the news. We're not going to tell the news. We're going to sing about it in a moment. But let me remind you of what it says in God's word about what happened. This is what happens. When the disciples had gone home, they've already visited the tomb, and they're a bit confused, and they're not sure what's happening. When they'd gone home, Mary returned to the tomb and was standing outside crying. And as she wept, she stooped, and she looked in, and she saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and the foot of the place where Jesus' body had been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angel asked her. "Because they've taken my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" he asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him so I may go and get him." "Mary," he said to her. She turned towards him. "Master," she exclaimed. "Don't hold on to me," he said, "for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go and tell my brothers. Tell them that I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene found the disciples and she told them, "I have seen the Lord." And then she gave them his message. Today is a great day for telling that good news, as that young lad just said. Let's just share the news and rejoice in all that God has done. Now, normally we have a little response, an Easter response every Easter. So I would ask you to stand with me before we sing, and we're just going to respond with those familiar words that we get to say every Easter day. I think they're on the screen. Here we go. I'll say the bit in yellow, you say the bit in green. Are you ready? Christ has risen.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Yeah, it wasn't bad, but it could be better. Let's try that again. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Let's worship him. Let's lift our voices and our song to him. Let's worship him.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you today that Christ rose from the dead, that he is risen, that the curtain was torn in two, that the doubters found hope, that those who had failed found forgiveness, that the lost and confused found a purpose and a passion all over again, that the fearful found courage, that the mourners found joy. And we pray for ourselves and for those we love today that this Easter the stone will be rolled away one more time. Roll it away again, Lord. For all those who are separated from you, for those who doubt there is any good news, for those who feel like failures, those who are lost and don't have a purpose in life, those who are afraid, those who mourn and live under the shadow of death, roll away the stone again. Because the truth is, Christ died and Christ has risen and Christ will come again. We celebrate together and we declare that Jesus really is, through his resurrection, proved to be the Lord. Let's sing together. Amen. It's a very special day. Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago and changed all sorts of things for us, changed everything for us, which is a wonderful thought. Now, Eddie's around, but he was up at 6 as well, so he's gone back to bed. Can you believe it? I felt like doing that. But he's gone back to bed. So you are going to have to wake him up. You are going to have to do the usual wake up Eddie, okay? Because he's absolutely zonko. Right, here we go. After three, wake up Eddie. One, two, three.
Wake up Eddie.
Ah, oh, miserable. Dreadful. Right, let's try that one more time. I'm sure you can do better than that. Come on, I have faith in you. One, two, three.
Wake up Eddie.
Hey, hi Ed. Excellent. Hey, good to see you, Ed. Good to see you. How you doing? How you doing? You had a funny turn. You're having one now. You had a bit of a funny turn. You had a bit of a funny turn. Oh, no. What's the matter? Are you sick? What is it? Your tummy feels funny. Yeah, I can see that too. It looks a bit funny, actually. Your tummy feels funny, yeah. And what else? And you're running a bit of a temperature. Oh, dear. He's running a bit of a... You do, yeah, you are looking a bit peaky. And what else? Your heart keeps racing. Oh, no. Eddie, you must be sick. It sounds like you are a bit sick. Sounds like you're a bit under the weather or a bit ill. Have you been to the doctors? Not yet. No, it's a bank holiday weekend. They're not working. Yeah, okay, I know. Nobody is, apart from Vickers. But there you go. There. So, hang on. So, I'll have to do my first aid. Here we go. Let's just check your pulse. Let's check your pulse. It's rather slow, actually. I think he's nearly dead. Don't panic. Sorry, that was a joke. Okay, no, wait, that seems fine. Let's check your temperature. You're a bit clammy. You are a little bit clammy, actually. Yeah, that's a little bit weird. That is a little bit weird. Tell me, what's going on? It doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen? No, okay. So it's only every now and again. When does it happen? Oh, really? Okay. It happens when he sees Daphne Sprout. Daphne Sprout, eh? Daphne Sprout, eh? Right, okay, so it happens when you see Daphne Sprout, when she walks into the room. I know what your problem is, Ed. Yep, what is it? You are sick, Ed. Yeah, you are sick. You are lovesick, mate. You are lovesick. Yeah. Is it serious? No, it's just hilarious, quite frankly. Yeah, you are sick, you are sick. Look, in fact, let me just try this. Here we go. Let me just try this. We've got a little picture of Daphne on the screen. So let's just see what happens to your heart rate when I try that. I think we've got a picture of her. Have we got a picture of her, Anthony? Here's Daphne. There's Daphne. Okay, let's try your heart rate. Here we go. Let's see if it's a bit quicker. Yeah, that's pretty serious, mate. You've got it bad. You've got it bad. Look out, boys. This is bad news. Okay, you got it bad. Okay. What should you do? What should you do? Well, that's a very good question. It just so happens I am something of an expert in the ways of love. What are you laughing at? I know all about the ways of love. What? I couldn't find the ways of love if they gave me a map. Thank you. That's not very nice, is it, quite frankly? That's not very nice. Okay. It's all very nice, but I am a bit of an expert on this. So do you want some advice or don't you? You do want some advice. You want some advice. Okay. So some advice. What should you ask her out? Well, that depends, really, Ed. Do you really love her? Do you love her? You do? You think you do? Okay, that's good. You did what? Oh, you sent her a poem. That's very romantic, Ed. You sent her a poem. Okay, what was the poem? Violets are red. Sorry, roses are red. Sorry, I was close. Get it right. Yeah, sorry. Roses are red. Violets are blue. I wrote this poem, sat on the loo. Rubbish. That was rubbish. Did it work? She hasn't spoken to you since. No, well, she won't, will she, really? She won't speak to you since, mate. Yeah, no. Right. Eddie, it takes more than words sometimes. You know, you can tell people you can love them, but it takes a lot more than just saying a few words. That's the truth. If you want dear old Daphne up there, gorgeous Daphne, to love you back, it's going to take a few more than words. Yeah, you have to prove your love to her. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, you have to prove you would risk everything for her. You have to prove that she means more to you than anything else. Even chocolate. Yeah, even chocolate. Even? Yeah. Even your Easter egg. Do you love her enough to give her your Easter egg? Would you give up everything for Daphne over there? Would you? You'd like to think about that. Okay. You're feeling better now. Okay, that's a strange cure, but there you go. Okay. Well, listen, it reminds me of what Easter is all about. Easter is all about that. Easter is all about love. Easter is all about God's love for us. It's amazing. Years ago, he used to have this plan, God, and he used to just tell us he loved us. He sent people called prophets, you know, prophets, but usually dressed a bit weird and ate strange stuff and did odd things. But they did all that to try and get the message across that God loved us. And the problem was, most people didn't believe it. So words weren't enough, a bit like your poem, which was rubbish, quite frankly. But, you know, the words don't often do it. So you have to prove your love, don't you? So God decided, Easter reminds us that he really loves us, that he came in person, that he risked everything for us. And it was more than just an Easter egg, Ed. It was more than just an Easter egg. He risked everything. He risked his life. He didn't give up chocolate. He gave up his life for you and me. That was what Friday was about. But you know what? You know, in marriage, when you get married, you have to make a promise, and you have to promise this. You have to say, till death do us part. You make that promise, don't you? That's a real serious promise about your love for people. It is, yeah. You have to say that if you get married to Daphne. Yeah, you will. Yeah. So you have to say, till death do us part. The thing is, God said, I'm going to prove so much that I love you. It's not going to end even death. Even death isn't going to stop my love for you. And that's why on the third day, he rose again. He says, I love you this much. I love you enough to die for you, but I love you enough to live again for you. He loved us beyond death, which is an amazing thought, that God is that wonderful and that powerful and that passionate about me and about you, which is terrific. So he proved that he loved us. He rose again to prove that his love for us will never die. God's love for you can never die because Jesus cannot die. Even when they crucify him, he cannot die. And he came back to prove that his love for us will never die, which is terrific. Fantastic, isn't it? That's really good. Yeah. Okay, there's a verse about that. I think it's on the screen. Let me have a quick look. Hang on. Let me flick this on one. There you go. And this is my prayer for you this Easter, and for you, and your Easter egg, and all the rest of it. Here you go. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, especially on Easter Day, how wide and long and high and deep his love really is. A love that would go to a cross, go to death, and even beyond death for you and me. May you experience the love of Christ, not just hear the words. May you meet him and experience him. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it, and you'll be filled with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That's what happened to those disciples. They got filled with life and power when Jesus came back. It's terrific stuff. Excellent. That's really good. Okay, so you think you're cured. Okay, good. Okay, you're gonna think about the egg thing. Yeah, have a little mull over, you know. But we shall see you later. You need some more sleep, don't you? Yeah, okay. Do you want to say goodbye, Ed?
Bye.
He's gone. There he goes. Don't eat that egg yet. Stop it. Right, okay. He's breaking into it right now. I think we've cured him. There you go. So we're going to take up an offering right now, and we're going to express our love in all sorts of ways, because we give some of those offering to all sorts of places. And you may remember from last week, do you remember we had an offering for Tear Fund for the East Africa appeal and the folks that are suffering there? There are still some envelopes out in Oasis back there. So if you want to give today, grab one of those envelopes after the service and put it in the bags and catch the bag afterwards. But let's take up an offering so we can bless others and show our love to them.
I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lived. Amen. Covered in sin and shame, I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the sun away. Amen.
Can we pray and let's just dedicate what we've given to the Lord. Father, we want to thank you for your generous gift to us, a gift of eternal life, a gift of sins forgiven, a gift that proves that not even death can separate us from the love of God. We want to thank you for your love for us. We pray you take what we've given and that you would bless others. We want to pray right now for our world. We pray especially for East Africa. We pray for those countries in the grip of drought, countries that even last year were in drought and now the situation become critical. And we pray for all those nations, the four nations particularly involved, but also for all those who are part of a disaster response contingent, who are involved on the ground. We pray for governments, but we also pray for charities like Tear Fund, who are there on the ground trying to help people and have been for years, Lord, and continue to respond to this current crisis. We pray for our world, Lord. When this morning all I saw on the news was North Korea, another failed missile launch, as yesterday they paraded missiles in front of their national TV. I want to thank you again for Easter that tells us a very different message to that. I want to thank you for Easter that speaks of a power that is not based in nuclear armament, but in a love of God for ordinary people to transform individuals' hearts from hatred and suspicion to love and generosity. I want to thank you for a gospel and a good news that can change the world. I pray it will again this year. And for all those fearful, for all those in our world today, looking on and wondering what the future holds, I want to thank you for a hope that was born 2,000 years ago. A hope that tells me that Jesus really is the Lord, because he rose from the dead and history is in his hands, that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We want to thank you. Give us courage and hope and purpose. Because of him we pray. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Let me remind you a little bit of the Easter story. I wonder if I was asked the question, what difference does Easter make to you? What difference will it make to you tomorrow? Well, okay, there's a cream tea and there's Easter egg hunt, but it must make more of a difference than that, mustn't it? It must make more of a difference. And I want to show you a little reading from the Bible. This is how Jesus made a difference to those first disciples and the way he changed their life overnight. And let's just see a little bit of that.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name.
And we often forget that wonderful promise, don't we? "Blessed are you, Thomas, because you've seen me and you've believed. But how much more? Do you know you have a bigger blessing than disciples? Did you know that? You are more blessed," says Jesus. "You have a bigger blessing than the disciples because you have believed, even though you have not seen." Jesus recognizes that and he just celebrates that with you, which is wonderful. What difference does Easter make? It made a difference to those guys. It changed their lives from that moment on, and it can change ours too. What difference does it make? We're going to sing a song that talks about the difference Jesus makes in our lives. Let's stand and sing. Maybe you'd like to sit down for a moment. I wonder if, Anthony, could we just have that last verse, the full last verse, back on the screen and just leave it up there? That'd be great. Thanks. We talked about what difference would it make. What difference does it make that Jesus has risen from the dead? What difference does it make to you tomorrow, wherever you are? It's a bank holiday, so you're not going to be in the office or back at college or school or whatever, are you? You're going to have the day off, but hopefully it will make a difference every day and not just on bank holidays. C.S. Lewis once said this. He said this: Jesus has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death, and everything, he says, is different because he has done so. Everything is different. The world has changed because of Jesus Christ. Certainly that's true for me, and when I think about my life and my hopes and my dreams and my future and my purpose, everything's changed for me because of Jesus. And I know for many of you, you've found a sort of faith and a hope because of what Jesus has done. And his rising from the dead is the proof, is the guarantee, isn't it? Because if Jesus had just died on the cross and not risen again, most of us would be wondering, well, how do I know? And yet the cross is the payment, but the resurrection is the proof that Jesus is who he says he is. That he is the Lord and the King, that he is God incarnate. It's a wonderful, wonderful message of Easter that we all celebrate. And it starts, this difference, believe it or not, what difference does Easter make? It starts with you. It starts with you. It starts by changing you. And that's hard to believe because if you're anything like me, it's hard to change, isn't it? I'm doing this counselling course. And one of the things, I have to write 1,600 words a week in this counselling course, which is a pain in the neck, quite frankly, but I have to write 1,600 words a week. And I keep writing in there, yeah, I know what's wrong with me, but I'm not changing. And I do. I'm working out I've got more problems than I ever thought I had. In fact, I've got more problems now than when I started the course because I'm aware of them. I'm aware of what a lunatic I am. And I'm just thinking, oh, Lord, And I know the stuff in my life, and I know how hard it is to change. And maybe you're the same as me. Maybe you think, I know the stuff I want to change, but I'm struggling to do it. And yet, when I look at these disciples, and you saw Thomas there, I look at them and I see a change in their lives. That was immense. Immense. Now, they didn't become perfect. And I'm not going to become perfect this side of heaven. But they changed. Everything changed. And we think often, our problem is, you think the disciples are better than you, don't you? You think the disciples had it all sorted, spent 3 years with Jesus, got their degree in being religious and righteous and perfect, and then everything went swimmingly for them. But you know, and I know, that they blew it all along the way, didn't they? I mean, even on Good Friday, Peter's denying Jesus. After 3 years of living with Jesus, he's still denying him. And on Easter Sunday, this very morning, Thomas is stood there saying, oh, I'm sorry, I don't believe. Unless I put my finger in the nail prints and my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe Jesus is alive. These guys were no different from you and me. They got it wrong. They doubted. They had trouble sorting out the stuff in their life. And yet Jesus appears to them, and then things start changing every day. It's amazing what God did. And he started in such a wonderful way. I love this about Jesus. He doesn't do grandiose stuff with you. He just says, hello. And that's that shalom. You know, he met with them and he said, shalom. It just means peace to you. In our culture, that would be, good morning. Hi. Whatcha? It would have been that. And that's what he does. In such an innocuous way, he steps into their lives very normally. And to this motley crew. And I love the phrase. There's this little phrase when Jesus first appears. He says, go and tell my disciples and Peter. You ever wonder why he puts that in? And Peter. He puts that in because Peter needed to know he was still one of Jesus' disciples. Though he'd messed it up and he got it wrong in the most horrendous way. But Jesus says, but tell Peter. I love him. Tell Peter. Isn't that great? They're just like me and you. They mess it up. They don't always do the things Jesus wants them to do. But he still says, and tell them too, because they're mine. I love them. Full stop. It's great, isn't it? And then Jesus spends a lot of time reassuring people like Peter that he's still loved. He's still one of the team. He's still one of God's people. Jesus does a lot of that. And that can change your life, can't it? To know that you are loved changes your life. Remember, we had a sermon a while ago and we said two things will have impacted and transformed your life more than anything else. What were those two things? The people who have hurt you and the people who have loved you. And everybody in this room, you are shaped by the people who have hurt you and by the people who have loved you. Everybody is like that. Every human being on the planet is transformed by their experience of pain or their experience of love. Now listen, if Jesus comes back from the dead and says, my love is stronger than that, I will come back for you. And even when you mess up, I will say, and Peter, I'm here for you. That can change your life. Because when you're loved, you don't have to perform anymore. How many of us perform a little bit to get everybody's approval and love? And it's called an external locus of evaluation. I learned that on my counselling course. How many people have an external locus of evaluation? You perform certain ways with certain people because you want them to like you and accept you and love you. How many have one? I have one. Anybody else have one? Yeah, good. Some of you are honest. The rest of you are fibbers. Good. You're just lying. That's all right. I love you anyway, and so does Jesus. But we do, don't we? We have this external locus. Instead of this internal locus of evaluation, we evaluate ourselves now in the light of a risen Jesus who comes back for people who've failed. And he says, I still love you. It's okay. You've blown it, but you're mine. You're mine. And when you have that, guess what? You don't have to pretend anymore. You don't have to behave differently with this group or that group. Because inside you know you are loved unconditionally, and you don't have to behave or win people's approval because you have his approval. You have the approval of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That changes your life. That changes your conversations. That changes your honesty. That changes everything in your life. To know that you are loved. That's why Paul said with that verse, may you have power to grasp the height and the depth and the width, the just the huge expanse of God's love. Though you may never fully understand it, may you have power to grasp that. Because when you are loved, you change. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus comes back to reassure us, to show his disciples, to gather them again to himself and to say, you are loved. And not even death can separate you from my love. That is the gospel. That is the good news. That is why God can change the world, because he can change one heart after another and he can change the world that way. That's how it works. That's the good news this morning. He makes everything different. He says, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. And as that young lad at the beginning of our morning said, let's share the good news. I hope you will. I hope you go from this place with a smile on your face. And when someone asks why you're smiling, you say, the world is a different place because Christ has risen from the dead. Everything can be different. It can be different. And it starts, that difference starts with you. I pray you have a wonderful Easter. I pray you'll experience the love of God and that you too will be changed. We're going to close with a song, but before we do, we're going to say those words again. Do you want to stand with me? And here's the statement on the screen again that you can practice all day. Practice it over lunch. Here we go. Let me lead you off. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. peace.
One more time. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And everything can be different in your life because of that. Let's worship him. Today, everything in our lives would be different. We celebrate today the rising of the Son of God to prove who he is, but more importantly to us, to prove his endless, undying, unconquerable love for us. We thank you for Easter Sunday. We thank you for the hope it puts in our lives. We thank you for the change it can make in our lives. And we pray that this good news would go from here and would spread to our friends and our families and those who need hope and love in their lives today. We ask that in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 God bless you, folks. Have a wonderful Easter.